My name is Matthew. I didn't introduce myself. We're going to dive into the Bible. We're going to take a passage of scripture from the Bible, and we're going to dive into it. We're going to see what it is that God wants to speak to us today. Most people pray. Most people, maybe they say they're religious or not religious, but most of us in the world pray. Most, if not all, religions have prayer at the center of their faith. And what we're going to see today is that Jesus revolutionizes our concept of prayer. Now, I've got my own father here. This is Brad Price, and he will be painting throughout the sermon. And I believe that painting is a picture of prayer. I hope you'll see by the end of our time together. Jesus is going to take our concept of prayer and turn it upside down. Now, many of you know, we're in the middle of a series. It's taking us many weeks, but we're in the middle of a series on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a moment when Jesus, in his life, he gathers his followers together on a big mountainside, and they're all kind of sitting outdoors, and Jesus is teaching them about what? What is he teaching them? About life in the kingdom, that's right, in the kingdom of God. And so he's telling his disciples, hey, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what it means to have the DNA of the kingdom. So within that larger Sermon on the Mount, here we are in the three-week little mini-series within the larger sermon. And we're going to be, this is a kind of a harsh picture, but we're going to be cut open by Jesus. Jesus is like a physician who's going to do open-heart surgery on us for these 3 weeks. He's like opening us up and exposing the motive of our hearts. Last week we looked at the motives, at our motives when giving to the poor. And today we're going to look at our motives when we pray. And most of us know that prayer can become this empty religious formula. I mean, you might be new to Christianity, so maybe that's news to you. But for many of us who have prayed for years, we know it can become this empty religious formula. It can simply be noise, completely void of relationship. And to illustrate this, I want to begin with a quick little story. It's not a big story, but I remember when I was 18, I was traveling in Ecuador, and we were in the Quito airport, and a friend of mine from Oklahoma, his name's Billy, was ordering a sandwich. And so we were in the airport, and so the person who is the owner of this little deli only speaks Spanish. Obviously, it's Ecuador. So Billy walks up to the counter, and he goes, "I'll take a ham sandwich," right? Fully English, classic Oklahoma. You know, I'm going to go ahead and speak in English, even though I know you only know Spanish. And so I'm standing there, and I speak in Spanish. I grew up in Colombia, and so I was like, oh, okay. So, hey, Billy, he only speaks Spanish. You want me to help you out? I'm offering my assistance. And Billy looks at me, and he goes, "I got this. I'll have one ham sandwich." I'm standing there. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, Billy, still English, my friend. Doesn't matter how loud you say it, how much you enunciate, still English. So you're not going to get the ham sandwich that way. And when I was thinking about what Jesus was teaching, I thought about Billy and the ham sandwich being in Ecuador. Because how many of us feel like Billy when we pray? We feel frustrated when we pray. We don't feel heard when we pray. Many of us feel like, man, if I could just say it a little bit louder, and if I could just enunciate, then God might hear me and might agree to answer my prayer. Well, does it work that way? No. And Jesus gives us three images of prayer this morning. And I've taken the freedom in my own words to represent these images he's given us in how to pray. And so I believe, in my own words, that this is what Jesus is asking us. He asks us this: do we pray like an actor, a robot, or a child? Do we pray like an actor, a robot, or a child? We're going to unpack these three images this morning. And at the end of our time together, I hope that you and I are driven to pray, that we're driven to know Jesus deeply, to spend time in his presence like never before, and to truly be, banner number one right there, a church on our knees. Lord God, that is my prayer this morning. I pray that you would come and move in the room. God, that you would refresh us and remind us that we can come to you as children We have a Father who loves us. And I pray that that would be so true this morning. God, for those who don't yet know you and are not yet in a relationship with you, God, that you would reveal your love to them for the first time. And for the many of us in the room who have walked with you for years and years, God, I pray that we would be refreshed this morning, that you would remind us of our identity in you. We love you, God, and we dedicate this time to you. May you be glorified and honored. Amen. Okay, so as we often do in North Langley, we're going to start with a little Calvin and Hobbes. How many of you are Calvin and Hobbes fans? Please. Yes. Good. So for like 2 or 3 years before I went to bed every night in junior high, I would like read a Calvin and Hobbes. I'd read Calvin and Hobbes for a while. Just loved Calvin and his attitude in life. Many of you know the Serenity Prayer. Before I show you the cartoon, some of you know the Serenity Prayer, which is attributed to St. Francis. And it's pretty popular. It says something like this: Lord, grant me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Many of you have probably heard that. It's a nice little prayer. It's probably engraved on some things in your home or something like that. Well, Calvin has his own version of that prayer, so here it is. He's talking to Hobbes, and he says, you know what I pray for? What? The strength to change what I can, the inability to accept what I can't, and the incapacity to tell the difference. You should lead an interesting life. Oh, I already do. And does he ever? Calvin leads an interesting life. I love that. The strength to change what I can, the inability to accept what I can't, and the incapacity to tell the difference. I mean, is this how we're supposed to pray? No. I mean, Calvin does his best to show us total, prideful, self-centered prayer. So I want to ask again, do we pray like an actor, a robot, or a child? Let's begin with that first image, the actor. What does it mean to pray like an actor? Well, Jesus begins in Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So here's the first image that Jesus gives us of how we're not supposed to pray. It's the image of an actor. Jesus calls this person a hypocrite. And as you remember last week, if you were with us, hypocrites love themselves and they love the opportunity to show off. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word for an actor. An actor in those Greek tragedies, those Greek dramas, who wears a mask. An actor with a mask. So Jesus is saying, see those guys on the street corner? Those guys who, you know, love to stand and pray out loud so that the whole little village can see what they're praying. They're actors. Their prayers look impressive. They sound very spiritual, but they're acting. They're wearing a mask. There is a way of praying that looks spiritual, but it's empty. Now, the point Jesus is making is not that public prayer is a bad thing. Okay, that's not what he's saying. But he's saying that prayer for the sake of being seen is. See, the hypocrite wants applause. And Jesus says, you know, now they have it. They've received their applause. They've received the reward they were looking for. But Jesus says, hold on. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And so that's a strong word for us, for people like myself, like Matthew, who struggle with pride. We would like to be seen. We want to sound impressive. We desperately want to be noticed and to sound really spiritual. And so Jesus says, Matthew, go to your room, close the door, and just talk to me. Pray to your Father. You see, if the deep desire of our heart is to be seen, then we're called to pray in secret. Because when I pray, I want my words to sound so smart. When I pray, I want to sound intellectual. I want to sound really deep and spiritual, and I want to be passionate as well, and then I'd like to impress the people in my group. But at the end of our time of prayer, it dawns on me, and this has happened to me in my life numerous times, the whole time I was praying, I never once thought about God. I wasn't talking to God. I mean, my words sounded like they were talking to God, but really, I was trying to impress the people in the prayer group. I was so focused on the impression that I was making, but I had neglected God. But at least I sounded good. At least the mask that I'm wearing as an actor makes me look good. Friends, that's rotten religion. And as we looked at last week, you can go to the marketplace and you can buy a beautiful fruit, or you can go to a store and get a pastry or a chocolate, and then you take a bite and then you notice that it's just rotten on the inside. But on the outside, it looks so beautiful. It looked fresh, but you took a bite and it's rotten. And so because religion can become so rotten, let's ask ourselves, when you pray, do you pray like an actor, a robot, or a child? Okay, second image. Let's talk about robots. The second image that Jesus gives is what I'm calling a robot. And listen, it starts in verse 7 and goes to verse 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So Jesus is describing someone who uses tons of empty phrases when they're speaking to God. They're using these kind of mantras, these mechanical or mindless words. Now, they could be very beautiful words, but they're mechanical. They're using a formula to talk to the living God. And John Stott, he's a pastor, he describes it this way. The word describes any and every prayer which is all words and no meaning, all lips and no mind or heart. You see, in Jesus' day, pagans, or those who were not Jews, so Gentiles, understood that the gods had to be manipulated or woken up from sleep. Pagan gods were not gods who loved and listened to their children. No, they were a large vending machine. You got to put the right amount of coins in, and you've got to hit the right button, and then you get what you ask for. There's a formula to that. Do we pray that way? Do we think God will only hear us because of our formula or our many empty words? But Christianity is not a secret formula. Now, at this point you're going, uh-huh, Matthew, okay, next point, move on. But let's, can we just pause here for a minute? This is frustrating. Let's be honest. This is so frustrating because we say, okay, God, I went to church, I prayed, I gave money, I told my kids to love you, I gave my time, and now look at the mess my life is in. I put in the coin and I pushed the button and nothing came out. The robot isn't working. The vending machine is not recognizing what I'm saying. The code that I'm entering. I'm a good person who's trying hard and I'm saying all the right things, right? Why am I not seeing the results? See, if we slow down here and we're honest, this is frustrating. But when we look at it a little bit closer, the problem with this view of prayer is that it's mechanical. It's robotic. Here it is. It's not a living relationship. It's a computer, not a person. And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes at times we'd prefer that God was a robot. He could be programmed. I would know exactly what to expect. Personally, there are times that I long for God to operate like a robot or a vending machine because I'd say, God, I prayed with faith and they weren't healed. God, I prayed in faith and I said the right things and I didn't hear from you. God, I prayed in faith and I said the right things and I lived the right way, and still my loved one didn't come to know you. And my marriage wasn't healed. And my child never got better. We as Christians have to wrestle with this. But we forget that God already knew this. And we forget that God is alive. And he knows our pain and our problems and our crisis and our fear well before it ever happened. And what does he do? He welcomes us like children into a relationship that's dynamic. On the one hand, it's filled with answered prayer, but then there is silence. And there are good times, but there are tough times. And there are yeses in prayer, and then there are no's in prayer, and then there are times where he calls us to wait or we don't hear him. And while it can be so frustrating, what the Bible paints for us is a picture of relationship. And the one thing we can be sure of is that God is not a robot. I have a robot. Her name is Siri. Siri, what is the meaning of life? She doesn't want to help me. She doesn't care about me. Siri, what's the meaning of life?
I'm really sorry about this, but I can't take any requests right now. Please try again in a little while.
She can't take my request, so maybe I've got to say it a little bit louder. Hold on. Okay, see, she's not working. Okay, see, I don't need Siri. Sometimes I put that question out to her, and she says, one time she said to me that the answer to the meaning of life was 42. She can't answer my question right now. See, if you know the Bible, you know that there was a god named Baal, right? And they had to wake him up from sleep, right? He was sleeping. So they had to kind of consistently wake him up. It's not available currently. Can't help you. See, if I ask the right question, I want the right answer. But see, she can't love me back. She doesn't know me. She's a robot. So do we pray like an actor, a robot, or a child? Let's talk about that third image. So see, Jesus has now given us these two images of prayer that are not healthy, they're not helpful in the kingdom, in God's kingdom. But Jesus will now offer us an example of how to approach God in prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. For those of you who are interested in digging a little bit deeper into the Lord's Prayer, we spent a whole month, 4 weeks, here at North Langley, in the Lord's Prayer. And so I'm not going to go into great detail. You can find those sermons online. We spent a lot of time. It was a great time together. But I want you to see one big theme here from the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray to who? To a Father. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice this prayer to our Father. Hey, for all of us who are Christians in the room, who are pretty familiar with Father, we use the word Father often, could we just stop for a moment? Do you believe that you're a child and you have a father? Your father is holy. We want to see the kingdom of our Father come. We want to see his will done. And we're invited to ask our Father to give us bread, to forgive us, to show us how to forgive others, to keep us from temptation, to save us, deliver us from evil. But notice it's all bound up in a relationship with a father. The goal of an actor is to receive applause. The goal of the robot is to enter in the right code to get the right response. But here, the goal of a child is relationship with their father. The very idea that prayer is communication to a father, or should I say, this particular kind of father, whom we can have a loving relationship with, is absolutely foreign to the faiths of the world. At the heart of Christianity is a prayer that is authentic, dynamic, raw, honest, open, vulnerable, bold, loving, and relational. It's not meditation to clear your mind. It's not what Jesus is describing here. It's not the importance of clearing the mind. It's actually a child speaking to their father. So Jesus teaches us that prayer springs out of our identity, and our identity is a child of God. You see, if God is sitting in the auditorium of life and wants us to impress him with our masks, well, then we should come to him as an actor. And if God was like the pagan gods of the ancient world, then we could treat him like a robot and say the right phrase or the magical formula, the abracadabra, and then suddenly, boom, it would work. But if God is a father and our identity is a child, then that changes everything. Because, as we said last week, a child doesn't earn their father's love. They live a life shaped by it. When we pray, we are shaped by our father's love. We have total access to our father's love. A child has 100% access to their father. This last week, for two completely different reasons, there's a two-hour time zone change between here and Oklahoma, where my parents live. And so twice this last week, I called really late at night for them. And both of them answered the phone with a little bit of tired voices, right? Hello? And why do they pick up? Because I'm their son. Right, Dad? Right. <yeah. laughs> He picks up because I'm his son. If I was a telemarketer approaching them to make a deal late into the night, they either wouldn't pick up or they'd have some pretty strong words for that telemarketer, right? But I'm different, right? I have access. I'm their son. You see, we're not actors. We're not robots. We're children. It'd be easy to pray with a mask on. Honestly, it's easier. Way easier to pray with a mask on. It's way easier to pray and to treat God like a robot. Why? Here it is. Because I wouldn't have to be vulnerable. And vulnerability is so hard. And so Jesus is calling us to something that is deeper. It's much harder, but it's so rich. And I want to use a final image here. I said I was going to do that at the beginning. I want to end here with this final image to explain this vulnerability and this honesty in prayer. And I want to use the image of a painting. How many of us in the room have done those paint-by-number paintings? How many of you are paint-by-number people? Yeah, arts and crafts, you know what you're doing. See, my brother kind of got the artistic talent of my dad. My mom and I were paint-by-numbers people. And those are cool. I love them because you know what you're going to get, right? Maybe you buy the box and you see the image. Okay, that's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get like a mountain with a little river, and I'm just going to insert the colors. And I think it's cool. So if you are into paint by numbers, right on. Because all the number ones are green, right? And you paint them green. And all the number twos, you paint those red. And you know what the painting is going to look like in the end. And the problem with a real painting is that the colors mix and swirl. And a real painting is made up of blacks and grays and blues and greens and reds, and they all kind of swirl together. And sometimes the artist might actually make a new color out of a mixture of other colors. And the colors are on top of each other, and they blend with each other, and they come together on the canvas to form a masterpiece. And you could go through an art gallery, and you could see these wonderful pieces of art. But it's harder. It's much more complex than paint by numbers. So follow me here. If we're children and our prayers are offered to a living Father, then we should expect nothing short of a masterpiece. The darks and grays of our relationship are those brushes of paint that cry out to God for answers. And maybe that's where you are today. You've come, you've walked in those doors today with pain, and the pain seems overwhelming, and God seems distant, and answers to prayer seem so gone, so removed. And we feel like that's just this black paint across the canvas of our relationship with God. And for those of us in the room who pray honestly, we know that there are darks and grays on the canvas of our life with him. Just read the Psalms. Right? Read Lamentations. Just read the prophets. Just spend some time in God's word. And we know that there are these dark colors, times where we cannot hear from him. But then there are these reds, and there are these yellows, and these blues, and these greens, and these bright colors, which are these brushes of paint that are filled with hope and healing and mercy and provision and miracles and life, where we cry out to God and he comes and he heals. And then he speaks and we feel like we can hear his voice and he restores us. And sometimes he pours joy and mercy upon us where we feel so filled by him. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've come and you're filled with these bright colors of answered prayer. These reds and yellows and blues and greens are painted with joy because God is so near. He's come near. And as the darks and grays of our relationship with our Father mix with the bright, joyous yellows and reds and blues and greens, we realize that the relationship is messier than we would have ever thought to begin with. That prayer is actually honest and vulnerable and real and authentic, because we're praying to a living God who hears us and who in love and wisdom allows certain things to happen, which we don't understand. He takes certain things away. He pours other things into our life. He may heal one day and the next day he may not. And while we don't get this, know this, he is no robot. He's not going to sit in the audience to be entertained by the show we put on. No, he's alive. He's the living God. He's our Father who has welcomed his children to come, to be real, to be honest, to obey. See, some of us just go, okay, we come and we can live how we want. No, no, no. He's a Father. We're his child. He's called us into obedience. But he's called us to be bold and to cry out to him. Are we taking the easy road today? Are we satisfied with a paint-by-number relationship? I want to just share what I think are three easy ways to deal with relationship. One of them is relationship with God, and two of them are relationship with people. I'm going to give you three examples of these things, and they're quick ways to avoid relationship. And so the first one has to do with God. See, I think atheism is easy. It's simple. It's no God. It's paint by numbers. You know what to expect out of life. No need to be vulnerable with a living God. When it comes to people, many of us know between you and I in relationship, porn is easy. Porn's really easy. It's simple. It's a quick image. It's a quick scene. No need for real relationship. Just a quick fix. Like a robot. We know what to expect. We know how to find pleasure. Or an affair. An affair is simply the other person at their best. So that's not knowing the other person truly. It's not real. It's not a real relationship of authenticity. It's a vending machine. You get what you want from that person. See, so when I think of atheism, I think of porn, I think of affairs. It's not vulnerable, it's not real, it's not authentic. But the good news of Jesus is that he invites us to something so much better, so much deeper. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus, reminds us that Jesus made a way for us to approach God. Our sin separated us from God, but only through the cross. See that red cross right there? Only through that red cross, Jesus gave his life for us, can we now have 100% access to our Father? The cross of Jesus Christ reminds us that we can have access to God, to be his children. 1 John 3:1 says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called what? Children of God." And that is what we are. Because of the cross, we are no longer orphans. We're children. Because of the cross, we've been adopted and given a father, all because of the cross. So when I look to the cross of Jesus, do we pray like an actor, a robot, or a child? We're going to have an opportunity to pray right now, and I want to let you know that right outside those doors, those exit doors, there's a prayer room. People ready and willing to pray. And I want to describe where we're at when it comes to prayer. How many of you, this was your first time, maybe you're new to faith, you're new to Christianity, this is your first time in church, and you're going, I never knew that. I had no idea that I could have a relationship with a father, that I'm his child. It's pretty amazing. There are people in the prayer room, there are all of us who are leading today, we'd love to tell you more about that relationship that you can have. Some of you, as we said, who have been Christians for years and years and years, you'll know that what you need prayer for is a reminder that God's your Father, a reminder of the intimate relationship that he offers you. I'd encourage you to pray as we take these next few songs, to pray to him, to go to the prayer room, to pray with people who want to pray for you, to ask the God's Spirit to remind you of that you're his child. Some of us, we see God as our Father, but we take advantage of that relationship. And he's calling us to say, hold on a minute. You need to walk in obedience. You need to repent. How might we repent and obey? What do you got to do right now? What needs to happen in this room? You know, sometimes prayer can feel so abstract, right? But when we turn it all upside down and turn it around, it becomes a masterpiece. And so my question is for you today, as you wrestle with this, do you want a robot or relationship? Do you want a paint by numbers faith, or do you want a masterpiece? Because at the center of prayer is a relationship with Jesus, the one who wears a crown of thorns, our King, Jesus who was crucified for us, the one who has won 100% access to the Father for us, the one who has made a way for us to be children of God. He is our great reward. He, the Lamb that was slain, is our great reward as we come to the Father. Let's stand together and let's worship.